Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
So good morning, good afternoon, good evening on this first Friday of July, and happy 250th birthday. Happy 4th of July this weekend. Hope and pray you are blessed. Hope and pray you are filled to the max with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I hope and pray that you will be very careful this weekend with fireworks. I can't remember all of it. It was listed by an area county sheriff's department here on Facebook, in this area in southern Indiana, about the do's and don'ts of when to call the police. And one of them is if your pets are having conniption fit because the fireworks are going off, don't call the police. But if the pets themselves are shooting at you, then call the police. You know, just a lot of tongue-in-cheek fun stuff. But be careful. Have a great blast of a weekend. See what I did there. And, you know, I don't know if you are. I've become a World Cup soccer fan. I've always watched World Cup at times. I've stayed up. Let me say this. I've stayed up to date with it. But obviously, USA doing so well. Just won last night. They've advanced to the round of 16, which is a pretty big deal in the knockout round. And they played Belgium on Monday. So, again, there was talk that, depending on how things happen, that the U.S. team could play the England team on, yep, July 4th. And apparently, they could have played in Philadelphia. I think that would have been sweet, sweet irony. USA, England, in Philadelphia, July 4th. Rematch, anyone? 250 years later? Anyway, hey, we are moving on. We are all the way in chapter 3 today in Acts. So, told you we would move past Acts 2. We could stay Acts 2 a long time, but we're going to move to Acts 3. We'll take 10 verses here in just a moment, and we'll talk through it, pray through it, and see where the Lord leads us. All right, so let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you for the day. I thank you for the night. I thank you for the morning. Wherever, however this podcast finds folk, I pray it finds them well. I do pray that we continue as we journey in pilgrimage through this book, slowly but surely and steadily and strongly, that we will learn, glean, and truly embrace all that you have to teach us in this book and in the Acts of the Apostles. We ask and pray, Lord, that you continue to encourage us and strengthen us, fill us as we continue to desire more and more of your word, and as we continue to seek after you and your Spirit. It is the Spirit of God within us that continues to make us useful for the kingdom. So may we be more and more filled with your Spirit so we can be more and more useful for your kingdom. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We trust all this in Jesus, your mighty name. Amen and amen. So a couple of quick things. The gala for the Joshua Center, the third annual gala, is August the 27th. You want to be there. Going to be some really good stuff. There'll be some folks speaking. I'll share a quick word. But also, there's going to be some really good surprises. There's going to be some things unveiled. There's going to be some things revealed, and I think it's going to be really good. So make plans, especially if you're a former student of the Joshua Center. Man, we really want you. We've already got at least one or two ordinands who were ordained in February already by the table and already are filling the table. So get your table, $250 for a table of 8, I think, and fill that sucker. And invite folks and make sure people get invited, for sure. And then also put on your calendar, November 7th, 8th, and 9th, I think. It's the first Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of November. Maybe, again, I'll let you look at that calendar, but it's the first Thursday, Friday, Saturday in November, Person and Power Conference in Wilmore, Kentucky at Asbury Theological Seminary. Make sure you got plans there. Working on the details of that now. Working on the teaching and it'll be really good. So can't wait. It's going to be once again, and that's our third conference as well. So the gala and the conference, the Person of Power conference, are tracking. So they're each in their third year. Three is a good number. Come on, three is a good number. All right. Here we go. Let me just read the passage. And it is from James. I'm thinking of Devoted. For those who may not know, there is a teaching that we do on Tuesdays. Comes out. It's a video teaching, usually somewhere between 5 and 7 minutes. Usually, sometimes can be longer. Most of the time, I think can be longer. but it is called Devoted, and we've been working our way through the book of James. This is not that, but that's why I said James. Still kind of in that mindset. All right, but here we are in Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Praise God. Great sign and wonder. So just some general thoughts. We'll kind of break it down here. And we, again, our podcasts are always right at 25 minutes, unless if they aren't, but very, very seldom. But here we'll be good with our time. So first and foremost, I want to make sure signs and wonders. I'm a fan of signs and wonders, but signs and wonders are different. Miracles and signs, actually, signs and miracles are actually a little bit different, very different in the Greek definition. But miracles are things like these. These are miracles. These are healing miracles. This is the first known miracle that we have on record after Pentecost. So it does set a tone, but it also carries on what Jesus had already been doing. So it is a continuation of what now it's not just Christ doing it, it's the body of Christ doing it. And I'm a fan of healing. Now, hear me out. I'm a fan of healing. We'll talk about some healing things. We'll talk about some really good stuff here. And there's a great quote I want to give you, a great quote that I'm going to end with that I think is for me, the heartbeat of the podcast. We'll get to that sooner than later. So, healing is an important aspect of the body of Christ. But I will say that we have, I think, just like a lot of other things, whether it's tongues, baptism, Holy Spirit, heck, baptism with water, whatever it is, we have done such a poor job sometimes of representing the biblical nature of things. So signs and wonders, two different things, wonders and signs and miracles, miracles and signs. The miracles are these kind of things right here. And again, Acts is replete with miracles. I love the fact in Acts 19 that this is when Paul has taken off his handkerchief and people are touching his handkerchief, his apron, and are being healed. And I love it. It says that even in the early church that there were extraordinary miracles being done. I love it. Like, what are ordinary miracles? I've said this before, but literally, if you go into that passage, it says extraordinary miracles were being done. What are ordinary miracles? I'll take an ordinary miracle. Amen? So I do think there are strata, tiers, if you will, of miracle signs and wonders. You see those all throughout the Old Testament, whether it's axe head floating, or fleece being wet, or fleece dry, and the ground wet, and vice versa. All these different signs and wonders, but the signs are always, in usually in case signs that kind of point to some fulfillment of Christ. They point to a final time of Christ. A lot of times the signs, even when Jesus is talking to his disciples before he was crucified, he talked about watching for the signs. And you'll have wars and famines and pestilence, but the end of time has not come. You'll have wars and rumors of wars, but the end has not come. And so Matthew 24. And so the signs, a lot of times signs are more about what is to come. They point to what is to come. Miracles are those things that happen in that moment that point directly to Christ at that moment, the power of Christ, the power of God. And so this is a miracle. Now, interesting, when you go back into passage in John, where Jesus is talking to disciples, he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you all know this verse, he says, it is good that I leave and that the Holy Spirit come. And then at some point he says, and you will do even greater things than these. You'll do even greater things. So the greater word, I've fixated on the word greater several times in teaching. There's a greater baptism than water. It's the baptism of the Spirit, Luke 3 and Matthew 3. And Jesus fulfills that at the sending of the Spirit at Pentecost, right? When the Father sends the promised gift, which is the Holy Spirit, 10 days after the ascension, 50 days after the resurrection. And so there's this sense of the baptism, there's a greater baptism. And so the person who's in charge of the greater baptism is greater than the person who's in charge of the lesser baptism. So the person who's in charge of the lesser baptism was John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance. The person in charge of the greater baptism, just taking a passage from Scripture, is Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. So how in the world can we do greater things than Jesus did? Are these the greater things? See, I think not. The greater things, going back to signs and wonders, I think the sign of the greater thing was Pentecost. The spread of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out, Joel 2, the fulfillment of that prophecy was one of the great signs of, and it's so spiritually, I really believe one of the things that I've learned that you can kind of, as far as Scripture is concerned, as far as understanding miracles and signs and wonders. So wonders are miracles and signs. Miracles are more in the present and in the physical realm. Signs are more in the spiritual realm. When someone comes to Christ for salvation, new nature, old nature gone, new nature is in, right? Sinner gone, saint in, that's a spiritual sign. Miracle for sure, born again, but it's also a sign. It's a sign of what God's power can do. It's a sign of what is to come for that believer now as they walk in Christ. So can it be both a miracle and a sign? It can be. I hope I'm making sense. But I think we put a lot of emphasis on healing miracles when maybe the greater message in the book of Acts, especially coming right from Acts 2, is the sign of salvation. So again, I am a fan of healing miracles. I've seen them. I've experienced my own. But I'm a greater fan of the greater work. And the greater work is salvation. Amen? I've said this 1,000 times before. What good does it do anyone to be saved and still go to hell? I'm sorry. What good does it do for anyone to be healed and go to hell? Sorry. What good does it do? Your foot's healed. Your cancer's healed. Your headache is healed. But you still don't believe. The greatest sign of Jesus of Nazareth is salvation. Amen? And so I think we get a little bit, I've been in ministries and been in worship services and charismatic circles where the whole focus is on healing, and that's not okay. And then the passages like these then will say, well, look what we get to do. Yes, as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do them. But again, in the book of Acts, and please hear me, I believe in all the gifts, I believe in all the power of God today as ever before, but Acts is different. You've got to understand the context. Acts is specifically set apart for that season of the early church. Do I think that the gifts have ceased? Absolutely not. Do I think the Spirit of God is still equally powerful? Absolutely. No one ever who's heard me preach and teach would even think that I would think otherwise. But just know this, that Acts is different. For anyone to say that Acts is not different than what we're living in now is wrong. You're not understanding the context. The context of the book of Acts is specifically the start. It's a push lawnmower. Anybody do those anymore? A push lawnmower. Do you have to start a lawnmower? What do you have to do to start a lawnmower? In my day, I used to have to do a little carburetor work, pour a little gas right into the carburetor. Or now these days, you have that little bubble where you push, and then that gas gets a little bit. That gas gets a little bit into the line, so that when you do what? When you yank that starting string, when you yank that starting cord, like hum, now it starts, right? That had to. You didn't. So did you have to? Do you have to keep yanking the starting cord to mow the yard? You do not. This is really important, I think, because I think we misunderstand the book of Acts, and when we misunderstand the book of Acts, we think that we can go around healing people all day long, and we get disappointed, and now people don't have faith. There's not one mention that this guy has any faith. In fact, this guy may have not had any faith at all. He was born lame, and interesting, he's at the gate beautiful, and he's not beautiful at all because he's a lame beggar, and yet he's on the outside of beautiful, and now once he's healed, he gets to go on the inside of beautiful. Come on, that will preach. He was on the outside of beautiful when he's not healed. He gets to go on the inside of beautiful when he's healed. I'll say that one more time. Third time's a charm. Not really. It's shalosh. He has to stay outside the gate beautiful before he's healed. He gets to go into the gate beautiful once he's healed. And I'm not just talking about physical healing, because now you know what happens. Now the man is just holding on to Peter and John. You'll see that in verse 11 next week as we move on. So all this to say that we understand that the salvation is of the greater sign, greater miracle, and understanding that I think the book of Acts is different. It is different. And for the third time, I'll say that the context of the book of Acts is different. There is a emphasis on how to start. The pulling of the cord for the lawnmower, the Church of Jesus Christ started, but you don't keep pulling the starting cord to mow the yard. So it is a different season for the church now than it was in the book of Acts. Blueprint? Sure. Healings happen? Absolutely. But I'm just telling you, I think for anyone to say that the book of Acts is that we can, there's no difference between now and the book of Acts, I think there is a significant difference on purpose, okay? Because the Church of Jesus Christ had to start, and to start is a big deal. So, all right, again, this temple gate called beautiful, again, that's really a big principle that you once you're healed, once you're saved, you get to go into the gate beautiful. On the outside of the healing by Christ, you're not beautiful. You have to sit outside beautiful. Once you've been saved, once you've been healed, once you've come to Christ, you are now beautiful. Really important point there. No coincidence there. Obviously, Peter and John filled with the Holy Spirit. No more tongues of fire, but so very, very much still filled with the Holy Spirit. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So walk. I like this. Taking him by the right hand, and that verb in the Greek is seizing him. So kind of like I grab you not by the hand, but I take my hand, I grab your forearm. Your hand now grabs my forearm. You're on the ground, and I'm helping you up. Sometimes it's almost like, you know, when we put our hands together, thumb to thumb, right? Almost like this, you know, I'm trying to do it. Do you see it right? See right there. but just a really firm grip. But it's also not only a firm grip, but taking him by the right hand, he also at the same time is moving him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. I was in a gathering years and years and years ago at a teaching, the person who was teaching said, would anyone like to demonstrate how that may have happened? Well, I raised my hand from the back. I came up, I sat down kind of cross-legged, and then I just jumped right up. And even if you see me jump up today at 62, as a spry 62-year-old, I jump up from any seat I'm at as many times as I can. And just to make sure people know, I don't have to moan and groan to get out of a chair. But he jumped up, and he jumped up, he leapt. And the person corrected me in front of all these people, saying that's not true because he was born lame. His ligaments, his tendons, his muscles would have had to really acclimate. So he would have had to kind of work into that. Pooey. Pooey. No. No. Pooey. That's not right. So anyway, he jumped up. It says he jumped up to his feet and began to walk in verse 8. Immediately, instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. Interestingly, when you're begging, listen to this. I love this. And you, I didn't know this until I kind of did some research on this. So yes, you can be sitting with your back propped against the pillar of a stone or the outside of the gate. But many times you had a mat and you laid on the mat. And if you're laying on the mat begging, right? Because sometimes it might get tiring to sit all day long. So you have to, you can't walk, you're lame. So you lay. And if you're laying, what are you eye level with? Ankles. Think about it. This man has seen years and years and years and years and years of ankles. Interesting how it says his feet and ankles became strong. What was he watching most of his life? Feet and ankles go past. Now, again, would he beg all the time? Sure, maybe, but he would also just lay there and he'd have a basket or he'd have a place for alms. He wouldn't always call alms, alms, alms for the poor. He wouldn't always call out because once you were begging and once they knew you were begging, you were a beggar. But so interestingly, he had a bird's eye view, listen, of feet and ankles. And yet it was his feet and ankles that kept him from walking. Wow, wow, wow. So he jumps up, he leaps up, he jumps up, his feet and ankles become strong, and now he goes into the temple courts walking and jumping and praising God. I love it. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement. So, yeah, so when I shared my thought of how this man jumped up, I was corrected. Like, no, no, no. I said, yes, yes, yes. And I left. I did. I left that conference. I literally left the room, went to my truck at the time, and left. It was in Columbus, Indiana. And I left. I literally left because I'm thinking, no, I'm not staying in a place. I'm not staying in a place. No, I'm not staying in a place that teaches wrongly. So I want to leave you this. I've got about 4 minutes left, and I want to leave you this. Now, again, this is from, I've been reading a book, studying it for probably a couple years now, G. Campbell Morgan, The Acts of the Apostles. I'd recommend it. Good stuff. Do your own research. Remember, Holy Ghost hermeneutics, make sure you are studying by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just simply by someone else's readings, okay? I want to read this, though. I love this, and he writes it so beautifully. It's probably best that I just read it. He says this, that the church's opportunity is lame humanity. Now listen to that. The church's opportunity is lame humanity, lame from its birth. It is a waste of time, he said, to discuss how humanity came to be lame. It is lame, and that is the trouble. The church's opportunity is not to build schools and erect forums where we shall discuss how men were born lame. The disciples of old came to Jesus, this is John 9, with a question, a wonderfully tempting metaphysical and psychological question. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? He dismissed their question. Neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We must work in him. We must work the works of him that sent. I'm sorry. Yeah. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, we must work the works of him that sent me. Listen to this quote. I just want you to hear it. Lame humanity is the church's opportunity. You've heard that once before in a little different way, but here it is. Lame humanity is the church's opportunity. This is indeed a pathetic story and picture. Lame humanity at the beautiful gate, but outside, we talked about this, there at the gate with all the mountains' far-flung splendors encircling the city, there where the steps went up into the temple, he lay, but outside. That is humanity's position, in the midst of beauty, but not of it. In the realm of things lovely and of good report, but excluded. That is the position of humanity everywhere. It sighs and sobs and is in agony at the beautiful gate, but it cannot get in. There is the church's opportunity. Come on. How wonderfully powerful that's written. See, our job as the church is not to build things necessarily or erect things or debate things. Lame humanity is the church's opportunity. Humanity is lame. From birth, humanity is lame with sin. And they sit outside the gate beautiful until they meet Christ. And how do they meet Christ? When Peter and John walk in and say, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I freely give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be made beautiful. Walk. Be healed. Be saved. Be of Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Humanity sits outside the beautiful gate. We get to invite them in. Lame humanity is the church's opportunity. Be blessed and be filled.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimer's Chapel, a country church by a creek reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.